All glories, all glories, all glories. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 28th chapter, text number 6, the second. तानः कीर्तय भद्रं ते भद्रं कीर्तनयोदारकर्मणः रसज्ञः को नु तृप्येत हरिलीलामृतं पिबन् Tradition purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. O Suta Goswami, all good fortune to you. Please narrate the activities of the Lord, which are all magnanimous and worth glorifying. What sort of devotee can be satiated by hearing the nectarian pastimes of the Lord? Purport. The narration of the pastimes of the Lord, which are always enacted on the transcendental platform, should be received with all respect by devotees. Those who are actually on the transcendental platform are never satiated by hearing the continuous narration of the pastimes of the Lord. For example, if any self-realized soul reads from Bhagavad Gita, he will never feel satiated. The narrations of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam may be read thousands and thousands of times, and still without fail, new aspects of the subject matter will be relished by the devotee. Oh my Tana Kirtaya Bhadram Te Kirtan Yodara Karmanaha. Asagnyaha kona trupyeta harilila amritam pivan. We are reading from the chapter Conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. The Shaunaka Rishis are speaking to Suta Goswami. They are blessing the speaker. All good fortune to you. Bhadram te. Because the Shaunaka Rishi is a elderly sage who is representing all the audience. And he several times you will find he offers comments and he also asks questions to Suta Goswami. And here he is also giving blessings. All good fortune to you. Bhadram te. And then he is asking, please narrate the activities of the Lord. Kirtanya Udara Karmanaha. Udara Karmanaha means magnanimous. Karmanaha are the activities of the Lord. Kirtanya, please speak those wonderful activities of the Supreme Lord, which are all magnanimous. Udara Karmanaha. And which are Kirtanya, means worth glorifying. Just like in another section of the Bhagavatam, there were two important questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj. So, one question was, what is the duty of people in general? Another question was, what is the duty of a dying man? And Prabhupada says, the second question is more important. The duty of a dying man, because everybody has to die. At least for Parikshit, you know, it was well known when he will die. 7 days was prescribed. As far as others are concerned, they may die less than 7 days also. So, others are in a greater danger than Parikshit also. He says, at least Parikshit was, it was clearly known, 7 days he can be confident. He can hear. Others may not even know when will they die. So, Prabhupada is saying, the second question of one who is about to die is a very important question. In the answer to that, Sukadeva Goswami said, तस्माद् भारत सर्वात्मा भगवान ईश्वरो हरिः श्रोतव्य कीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यश्चेच्चताभयम्। सो द सेकंड लाइन इज श्रोतव्यः वर्दी ऑफ हियरिंग, कीर्तितव्यः वर्दी ऑफ सिंगिंग और ग्लोरिफाइंग, वर्दी ऑफ स्पीकिंग टू अदर्स, एंड स्मर्तव्यः मीन्स वर्दी ऑफ होल्डिंग इन अवर माइंड, रिमेम्बरिंग, worthy of remembering, shrotavya kirtavya smartavyascha icchata abhayam, one who desires freedom from all fear, this is worthy, he says. Similarly here also he uses the word kirtanya, which is worthy of glorification. Great souls will not glorify anything that is unworthy. That's why he is saying Lord's activities are udara, magnanimous activities, kirtanya, they are worthy of glorification. Rasagnyah, he says, a devotee who can appreciate the mellow or the tastes, in the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Rai said, those people who are aspiring to merge into impersonal Brahman, they are likely to get bodies of trees and immovable objects. Like you will see Krishna Balaram, when they are seeing the beauty of Vrindavan, Balaram is saying that these trees must have been, when Krishna is glorifying Balaram, that everyone is, you know, the trees are offering their fruits to you, the plants are offering their beautiful flowers to you, and the deers are also looking at you, and all that he is saying. So one of the points he says there is these trees must have been impersonless in the past, and now they have become trees. Why? Because they are immovable, like a stone or like a tree. They are called achara. They become achara. So Ramananda Rai tells Mahaprabhu that those who are impersonalists, they become like that, like a stone or like a tree. And he says, those who desire to enjoy their material senses, they go to heavenly planets and become demigods, because demigod bodies are awarded for enjoying the material desires. And he says, and those who are impersonalists, he compares them to crows who suck the neem fruit, which is very bitter. You know, crows eat neem fruit? You don't know? Crows eat neem fruit, yeah. They eat neem fruit and they pass the stool along with neem seeds, you'll find. Dry seeds, you'll find. So, the crows enjoy neem fruit, but nobody else will like the neem fruit. Similarly, the impersonalists, they delight in discussing about the varietyless Brahman, which is only tasty for them. Nobody else can enjoy it. Whereas the devotees of the Supreme Lord are compared to cuckoos who eat the mango flower and the mango bud. And then of course naturally mango fruit also. They enjoy. So rasagnya means like that. Rasagnya means one who eats amras, one who drinks amras, or one who eats mango. So they are the devotees. So the devotees are compared to rasa means mellow, gnya means knowledgeable of the taste of the mellows. Like I remember in those days in Pune Yatra, they used to have an open forum for asking questions. So one fellow had asked a question to one of the swamis. Maharaj, why did Lord Sri Krishna steal butter from the houses of other gopis? He could have better gone to the gopis' homes and extended his arms and asked for butter. Why did he steal? As if it's a very serious question. And then one of the Maharajas answered the question saying that, you see, it's for the sake of Leela. Then again he sent another question. Even for the sake of Leela also, it will be better to follow morality. Ask and take butter. Why to steal from others' homes? You see, these people are, they have no knowledge of what is rasagnya. Actually, one needs no. Then one Maharaj gave a reply to him. All the butter in the entire universe belongs to Krishna only, including the butter in the houses of the other gopis. So Lord is stealing his own butter, and that was very convincing to this fellow. That is a good answer. Because Krishna says, aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from me only. Krishna says, including the butter in all the homes of gopis. He said, then that is correct. Because everything comes from him, he can take his own. And then again he is saying, still it would have been better if you asked. So, actually if Krishna were to faithfully go and ask the gopis and take the butter, there will be no leela only. Isn't it? And gopis will have nothing to come and complain to Yashoda at all. So, people who are not rasajna cannot understand this kind of pastimes. Similarly, people who are sense gratifiers, there is one description in Bhagavatam about how Krishna and the cowherd boys and Radharani and the cowherd girls, you know, in one occasion they are playing the holi, you know, pichkari, they are taking, like injection kind of thing, and they are filling it up with colors and they are throwing colors on each other. It's a very beautiful function, the holi in Vrindavan. So, sometimes they are throwing colors, sometimes they are throwing flowers, sometimes they are throwing with pichkari colors, they are throwing. And this is a great fun, great enjoyment for all the Vrijabhasis. But there is in that description, there is a point which says, there were also some people who were sense gratifiers who watched this scene, and their minds were getting agitated when they saw the bodies of the women drenched with the colors. So they were getting, because these are sense gratifiers. So when a sense gratifier tries to enter into the pastimes of the Lord, they will only get more bewildered. They will get screwed up, confused by reading that. Because their rasa is parthivaras, like pigs and dogs. Their rasa is only in stool only. Stool and urine. Because a pig can delight only in stool and urine. Whereas a calf can delight in drinking milk from the mother cow. So devotees are compared to calves. Dugdham Gitamritam Mahat, he says, no? So Arjuna is like a calf who is drinking the milk from the cow of all the Upanishadic essence, all the Sarva Upanishad Gavo Dugdha Gopalanandana. So those who are not rasajna, proper recipients of the rasatattva, if their minds are stooped down to sense gratification, even a beautiful leela of the Lord, their minds will be degraded by hearing those pastimes, because they are not rasajna. So neither the sense gratifiers nor the impersonalists can relish the rasa. Only rasajna, devotees of the Lord, they only can relish. Rasajnaha konu trupyeta. Konu trupyeta means, how can anyone say that enough now? Now let me take some rest. No. One will never feel any satiation in hearing. That is why whenever a vakta is giving a lecture, he will say, hum abhi is pravachan ko viram dete hain. Like that they will say. Viram dene ka matlab kya hai? Raat ko hum bhi aaram karte hain, lekin subah jag jate hain. Night you sleep and morning you get up. That's the meaning of viram, no? Similarly, katha can never end. Katha is an infinite thing. It is always going on. But you can give viram to katha for some time. That is why it's called viram. Some people wrongly say, katha ko hum idhar hi samapt kar dete hain. Wo galat hai. Samapt kabhi kiya nahi ja sakta hai katha. Bhagwan ki गुणगान जो है, कीर्तन जो है, वो उसका अंत ही नहीं है, सीमा ही नहीं है. There is no end to Lord's glories. Even Lord Ananta with millions of mouths is unable to, complete narrating the glories of the Supreme Lord. So, Lord's glories are unlimited. And no one can put a full stop to it. Even Ananta, who is supremely powerful. So, even he is unable to find an end. Who are we to find an end? We can never find an end. So, the katha will be going on. I heard in Bangladesh, sometimes they announce a program, that there will be a program in the evening, 6 o'clock a program will start. So when you start, the program will start at 6 in the evening. You find only 10-20 fellows will be there. And as the kathakar keeps going on, by it becomes 7, another 100 people will be there. It goes till 8, another 200 people. So by 9 o'clock, you find practically 1,000 people sitting and hearing katha. And you may ask, when is the prasadam, when is the schedule? Prasadam is going on also. Simultaneously, katha is also going on, prasad also is going on. But the kathakar keeps saying, those who are little hungry, they go and put some prasad in their belly and then come back and sit and hear katha also. So I was asking one of the speakers, then when do they end the katha? He said, as long as the interest level is there and people to sit, katha keeps going on. There's no end only. He said, sometimes the whole night also it goes on. And in the morning the kathakar finds there are only 5-10 fellows, then he will say, abhi pravachan ko viram dete hain. And the viram is up till a point when next crowd will come. Then continue the katha again. So, you will find sometimes some speakers, morning they speak on Bhagavatam and they continue it in the evening. And then the next day they continue it. You have seen that? It's like one continuous train of one lecture after another, continuing the same katha. So, there is no end to Lord's katha at all. That is why he is saying, rasajnyaha konu trupyeta. You know, one who is a rasajnya, like we say, Shukamukat amrita dravasam yutam. Pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavuka. So that rasika and rasagnya are same only. Those who are rasika bhaktas, they never find satiation in hearing the katha. They want to go on hearing. They'll never say that. Just like in a summer season when we serve amras to people in one glass, do they become satisfied after one glass? They look around, are they serving? Any second serving available? Isn't it? Do they become satisfied by second serving? Of course, as many servings are available, they will take advantage. Is it not? Similarly, I have seen devotees who come for some association. Sometimes they know that the morning Bhagavatam class is there, then between 11 to 1 there is a class. You know, they have to pack their luggage and everything, they have to go for the train or something. Sometimes, you know, with the half-packed luggage, they come running to the class to catch up with some nectar. What is going on? For that, you have to be a rasajna, for one to be able to hear like that. Then only one will, as much as my ears can hear, one can drink as much as possible. So, this is actually a rasajna, nutrupyeta. They will never be satisfied. It is said in Bhagavatam itself, vayam nu vitrupyama uttama shloka vikrame yatashrinvatam rasajnanam swadu swadu pade pade. Swadu means very tasty. Pade pade, at every step it is tasty. Just like we say, prati padam purna amrita swadanam, at every step. So, similarly, vayam means we. Vayam nu vitrupyama uttama shloka vikrame. Uttama shloka is Krishna. His vikramata, his parakramata, about which the Bhagavatam is describing. There also they are saying this. Vayamna vitrupyam uttama shloka vikrame itashinvatam rasajnanam. There also rasajnanam is there. Here also it is rasajna. Rasajnanam is, rasajna means a person who is relishing the rasa. Rasajnanam means the knowledge which is describing the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. Also, in that verse, the receiving bhaktas are saying that vayamna vitrupyama. But sometimes the speaker also congratulates the hearer. Here the hearer is blessing the speaker. Bhadramte. May all auspiciousness come upon you. What is the meaning of that? May you become empowered to speak the glories of Krishna in such a way that it will awaken bhakti in the hearts of the hearers. May the description of Krishna that you will speak now, fill up the hearts of the hearers with fond remembrance of Krishna and awaken love for Krishna in their hearts. May you become empowered by the acharyas and by Krishna himself. Similarly, sometimes the you will also hear the speaker glorifying the hearers also. I don't have the verse with me. There's a beautiful verse where Parikshit Maharaj is glorifying Shukadeva Goswami and Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying Parikshit Maharaj. Vayam dhanyatamam loke. Like that he's saying, vayam dhanyatamam. I have become a dhanyatama, he's saying. Dhanya, dhanyatara, dhanyatama. Three levels. Vayam means we have become very fortunate, he's saying. Why? Dhanya means one who gets the association of a Mahat Vaishnava. He's called as a Dhanya. Dhanya Tara is one who is getting not only the shelter of a great Vaishnava, but gets to sit with the great Vaishnava and hear. He is Dhanya Tara. And Dhanya Tama means one who is hearing Muhur Muhur, he is saying. Again and again he is getting to hear from such a great Vaishnava. He is called Dhanya Tamam. Like that Parikshit is saying. I am getting to hear from you again and again. I am very fortunate. Just like Nimi also tells the Navagendras. He is saying, what is that verse? Anybody knows the first verse which Nimi says? Very beautiful verse. Sudurlabho manusho deho dehinam kshanabanguraha tatrapi durlabham manje vaikuntha priya darshanam. That is the verse. Sudurlabho manusho deho. In this human form of life, dehinam kshanabanguraha. This body is temporary, kshanabangur. It's a perishable body. But it is extremely rare also. I obtained this human body. Tatrapi durlabham manye. More rarer than human form of life is what? In that human form to achieve association of devotees. Because many people get a human form, but they live their life like cats and dogs. Whereas after achieving the human form of life, to get association of a Vaikuntha Priya Darshanam. That is very rare, he says. So, in the Nimi Chakravarti, when Navagandras came flying in the sky and as soon as they landed, this is the first verse he said while speaking to them. And they also did not delay. Immediately they started speaking the lecture. There, in that purport, there is a discussion about if somebody has travelled a long distance and has come now, naturally you have to ask Kushalam, it is said. But he did not ask any Kushalam at all. Why? Because for great souls, there is no point in asking any Kushalam about them. Because they are always, they are in good consciousness only. They have no problem. Problem is with others. Like sometimes, Prabhupada would be speaking a long lecture and some devotees would tell Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I think you need some rest. And Prabhupada would, who needs rest? I need rest or you need rest? Prabhupada would ask them back. So Prabhupada never felt tired. When devotee is well tired, he would say, okay, chalo, take rest now if you want. But Prabhupada would want to go on and on. Like one time, Prabhupada was speaking to Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. He said, we have to smash these Darwinians. They are ruining the whole world. Tell me, what happened? Tell me further. And then Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj would say things which will incite Prabhupada even more. And Prabhupada would become little more angry than before. And then Tamalakshana Maharaj came there and said, Prabhupada, if you wish to take a little rest, I can arrange a kirtan party to do some kirtan. He said, Prabhupada asked, what do you think is going on here? This is kirtan. Said, discussion about the atheistic scientists, that is kirtan. How to propagate Krishna consciousness, this is kirtan. Don't think we are not doing kirtan, this is also kirtan. You know, he said, Prabhupada. Now you may think the smashing Dharmin is something else other than sitting with Umaridangam Kartal and doing kirtan. Prabhupada says, this is kirtan. Anything where you make a plan to glorify Krishna, that is kirtan. So, that is why Navagendras never delayed one moment also. Immediately they started speaking because Prabhupada says, there is no meaning of asking for Kushal, you know, how is temperature in your place? How is temperature in our place? It's going to be either cold or hot only. What else is going to be? Isn't it? It's going to be too cold or it's going to be too hot. Don't waste time. Human form of life is very rare. Immediately, they start speaking about the Supreme Lord directly. So, Vayam Danyatamam Loke. In that verse also, Parikshit is saying, I am very, very fortunate. I am not just a Dhanya or Dhanyatara, but I am Danyatamam. He's saying, and to get a guru like you, Shukadeva Goswami, I am so fortunate, he says. And then the next verse, Shukadeva Goswami says, that my dear king, indeed you are fortunate, he says. Why? He doesn't say because you got a guru like me. He doesn't say that. What he says? Because even before birth, you saw the Supreme Lord eye to eye. When you are in the womb of your mother, You are called Vishnurat. You are protected by Lord Vishnu, even when you are in the yoni of your mother. How fortunate you are. And throughout your life, you led a life in Krishna consciousness, and you are a descendant of Pandavas, who are most dear to the heart of Lord Krishna. That's why you are fortunate in that sense also. You are born in a good family. You are born in a great lineage, and your activities are also glorious. In line with Krishna's desire, you protected Dharma in the way Krishna wanted it to be protected. And now you are going to quit your body, and because of this episode of your quitting the body, the Bhagavatam is being spoken. And the whole world is going to immensely benefit by getting the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, everything about you is glorious. Yes, you are surely a fortunate soul. There is no doubt about that. So Prabhupada writes, Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit, they both are at an equal level, Prabhupada writes. Both are pure devotees. Both are exalted personalities. So in this way, it is very important for the speaker and the hearer to have a great mutual respect for each other, as we see in the case of Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit. Then a great bhakti arouses in the heart of both, the speaker and the hearer. Harilila Amritam Piban. The Harilila is called Amritam. It is immortal because Krishna's activities are all Nitya Lila or Naimitika Lila, and both Lilas are Amritam. Amritam means they exist on a immortal plane. They don't exist on a mortal plane. Because in this world, all the living beings are running here and there with their mortal coil. This is called mortal coil, the material body. Mortal frame or mortal coil. And these activities go on for some period of time, and then they are again, they drop dead to the ground. So Prabhupada is calling this as the material body is simply a slab of flesh flapping only for a few moments, he says. What is the material body? A slab of flesh flapping only for a few moments. Just like if I put my hand in a gloves and move my hand, then the gloves appears to be having life. You take away the hands and the gloves drops. Gloves never had life. Similarly, this material body also doesn't have any life. It appears to be living because of the Atma. And the activities of the material body are all infectious, infected by the three modes of material nature. It's crazy, activities. But the exactly opposite to this is the Harilila Amritam. Krishna's activities, which are all worthy of recording in the scriptures. You see, in this world also, people click photos of small children, or they click photos of small children because small children are very beautiful. When you become very old, that beauty is gone. And the older and older you become, our face and our features become like monkeys. You know, the body gets completely skinned and emaciated. But at least people can go back and see the photos. This is how I looked, so nice. So, like fond memories of the past. So people try to capture the scenes of marriage or scenes of being in the childhood, the old beauties. They can only be captured in a photograph, that's all. Because for all time, this doesn't remain with us. It's a fleeting beauty in this world. Whereas Lord Hari, his activities are all amritam, immortal, because every moment Krishna does, it is free from any defect. It is free from any inability of this world, like old age or disease or death or anything like that. Every activity. Even Krishna's killing is glorious. When he is arranging for the Kurukshetra battle to be fought, even that battle is glorious because Krishna delivers everybody. So, in this way, the Harilila Amrit, in comparison to the Amrit that the demigods drink in the heaven, this Harilila Amrit cannot be compared. There is a story of how, when the Bhagavad Katha was about to begin, Sukadeva Goswami was about to begin the Katha, many, many people had arrived there. And some demigods came and they were hanging around. And Sukadeva Goswami called for them. Hey, why are those fellows? Who are those fellows? Why are they hanging around? What do they want? They said, we also want our permission to attend this Harilamrita Katha, Bhagavad Katha. But in return, we are ready to pay some fee. And what fee? We have brought some Amrit, because Parikshit is about to die. So we thought we'll feed him some Amrit, we'll give him some Amrit. So we'll give this Amrit and we will hear the Katha Amrit. So when Chukadeva Goswami heard it, he became so angry. You are comparing the Katha Amrit of the Lord to the ordinary Amrit of this world. He called some people and said, throw these fellows out of the compound. He said. So, because these fellows are comparing the material Amrit to spiritual Amrit. Spiritual Amrit is Harilila Amritam, Piban. And one nature of Amrit is, it is not only imperishable, it is also ever fresh. It is always fresh. The Katha, the Krishna Katha is also ever fresh. Prabhupada writes in one place, the pastime of Sudama going to meet Krishna. This you have heard a million times in your life, right from childhood. But every time you hear from a different speaker, from different angle, it always again awakens attraction for Krishna, attraction for bhakti, attraction for devotional service. So, that's why here he writes in the purport, Prabhupada saying, the narrations of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam may be read thousands and thousands of times, and still without fail, new aspects of the subject matter will be relished by the devotee, he says. So, in the, I'll just read out one beautiful verse by, this is by your, Prithu Maharaj is praying to Lord Vishnu. Na kamaye na tatadapyaham kvachin na yatra yushmat charanam bujasavaha mahattamantar hridayan mukhachyuto vidatsvakarna yutamesha mevaraha. This is 4.20.24. My dear Lord, I therefore do not wish to have the benediction of merging into your existence, your benediction in which there is no existence of the nectarian beverage of your lotus feet. I want the benediction of at least 1,000,000 years, for thus I may be able to hear about the glories of your lotus feet from the mouths of your pure devotees. So, how many years he wants? 1,000,000 years. Karana, vidatsva means give me. Karana, ayutam is 1,000,000. Esha mevaraha, please give me this benediction. Vidatsva karana ayuta, mesha mevaraha. Mahattam antar hridayan mukachito. From the core of the heart. I want the benediction of 1,000,000 years. 4.20.24. Beautiful verse it is. Na kamaye na tatadappi aham kvachin. I do not desire na yat rishmat charana ambuja asavah. Charana ambuja asa means your lotus feet deserves to be served by your devotees for all time. But when you go to Brahma Jyoti, there is no lotus feet service. It's useless, he says. Whereas from the mahattama antar hridaya, from the core of the heart of great Mahatma devotees, and from Mukha Achyuto, from their lotus mouths, Achyuta Katha comes out. Vidatsva Karanayuta Mesha Mevaraha. I want 1,000,000 years. A similar aspiration was expressed by Rupa Goswami Pad about the chanting of the holy name, where he also says this. Karana Arbuda Vyaspraham, he says. Spraha means I desire Karana Arbuda. Arbuda is how many? Tunde Tandavani Vidratim Vidanute Tundavali Labdaye. Tundavali means, like Deepavali means a series of lamps. Tundavali means millions of tongues for chanting the holy name. And millions of ears to hear, also he says. Similar thing he says. Now we are unable to hear with 1 or 2 years also. And they want millions of years, you can imagine. You see? That goes to show the taste. Yeah, here this is another verse. It's a beautiful verse. 4.22.25. 4.22.25. हरेर मुहुस्तत्पर कर्ण पूर गुणाभिधानेन विजृंभमाणया भक्त्याह्य संगः सदसत्यनात्मनि स्यानिर्गुणे ब्रह्मणि चांजसारतिः. दिस इज 4:22-25. The devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constant hearing of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of devotees. So, hearing Krishna Katha is like what? Earrings for your ears. What is the earring that beautifies your ears? Krishna Katha. So, these pastimes are like earrings, he's saying. Yeah. See, Hare Muhu Tatpara. Muhu means constantly we have to hear. Karnapura. Karnapura is using the word. It is decoration of the ear. Karnapur. Karnapura means the earrings for the devotees. If any of you want to decorate your ears, we have to decorate with which one? Krishna Katha. The devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotion service with constant hearing of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of God. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations of the ears. Yeah. See, Prabhupada is saying, in the purport he is saying, we can increase our propensity for devotional service by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from realized souls. The more we hear from realized souls, the more we make advancement in our devotional life. The more we advance in devotional life, the more we become detached from the material world. The more we become detached from the material world, as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more we increase in attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, there is a beautiful verse which says this, what is being spoken here. It says, what is that verse? Na viragaya kalpate, na tirthapada sevaya. Please repeat that verse. Nehayat karma dharmaya. Na viragaya kalpate. Na tirthapada sevaya. Jivanna pimruto hi saha. See, nehayat karma dharmaya. If you are doing your duties in Krishna consciousness, then they become dharma, and then gradually what they arise? Detachment. Virag comes. Virag means detachment. But virag also can be attraction to Krishna. And then tirthapada sevaya, that is devotional service to the lotus feet of pure devotees. Everything comes. Step by step he is explaining very nicely. But I quoted this verse because hearing is like what for the ears? Earrings. Karanapura, he says. So it's like decoration for the ear. That means those ears which always are eager to hear Krishna Katha, they can be compared to ears with a very beautiful kundal. Decorated with a very beautiful kundal. Like that he says here. So, in this way, we can quote from different sections of Bhagavatam about devotees' eagerness to hear Krishna Katha, Harilila Amritam. Many places we can quote this. But sometimes devotees wonder, although Bhagavatam says this, so much eagerness we don't have in hearing. We feel sleepy or we fall asleep. So what is the reason? Actually recently our Gaurang Prabhu had told me to give a seminar in Vada Farm on the topic of studying Srimad Bhagavatam effectively. I told him, you are the right person to give. Probably he told me to give it so that I'll take it more seriously. Anyway, I studied two books in that connection. One was this Reading Reform by Satyavrata Das Maharaj. And another book is Living with Scriptures. So I made some notes. This is like a synopsis, summary of those vital points from those two books. So a few points I'll tell you from there to know how to take the study very seriously. Many interesting things he says in that book. Actually, the speaker of Bhagavatam also, there are various ways to speak Bhagavatam. One way is to speak is philosophical. Like, you know, you speak philosophically, clarify what is right, what is wrong, and help people develop an understanding of the reality. This is one style of speaking Bhagavatam. Another style of speaking Bhagavatam is instruct or chastise or correct. Give the right understanding and say, this is what one should be doing. So it's like an instructing tone. Like, you know, some people say, what are we doing? We are degraded souls. We are doing this. We should not be doing this. We should be doing that. This is the real standard. We should be like that. That is instructing tone. And the third style of speaking Bhagavatam is advertising, glorifying, relishing, admiring. Just see spiritual world. How wonderful. Hare Bol, you want to go back there. Relish oneself and tell others also, it's very wonderful. Better we go there. Why should we suffer here? If you see these three styles I told you, the philosophical, the instructing and the advertising. The first one is Sambandha, philosophical. And the second one is Abhideya. And third one is Prayoja. You will see that very easily. So speaking from Sambandha point of view means, if you don't surrender to Krishna, Maya will capture you. Is it not true? And then Sambandha between Krishna, Maya and the Jiva. It's a very detailed knowledge Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Sanatana Goswami. It's a detailed knowledge about how Ateva Maya Deya Samsara Dukkha. He says, you know, Krishna Bulya Seiji Vanadi Bahirmukha. So, by understanding the relationship between Krishna, Maya and Jiva, this is Sambandha Jnana. The Jiva is likely to become awakened. And then after they become awakened, then the Shiksha is required to give instruction. Instructing about instructing, chastising, correcting, teaching the right behavior and everything. Then Vaishnava Sadachara also comes along with Siddhanta. So the Abhideya includes all the procedures of action. What rectification needs to be done. Because sometimes people know a lot of philosophy, but they don't apply. What is the use of knowing a lot if one doesn't apply? There are even speakers who can give wonderful Bhagavatam class and you may wonder why they are not able to hold people. The reason is because they don't follow what they preach. That is why when Sanatana Goswami told about Haridas Thakur, he told, you are not only a preacher, but you are also a practitioner. So that is Abhideya. Actually, most people are afraid to give instruction because they themselves don't follow. Then how can they give instruction? Like sometimes I tell the devotees, you tell your counselees to increase the rounds. Ekadashi day they can chant 32 rounds. Yes, Prabhuji, idea is good idea. Only thing is I don't know how to tell them. Why you can't tell them? Because I also don't chant. I also chant only 16. Then how can I tell them? Correct, no? Because if you want to tell them, then you cannot tell unless you follow yourself. So, the second is Abhideya type of preaching. And the third one is Prayojan, which is the reminding people of the end result. How Ajamila went back to Godhead. How Dromaraj went back to Godhead. How Narada acquired a spiritual body. How anybody who is sincerely practicing can go back to Godhead. Tell about the glory of Kingdom of God. Third canto, 15th chapter. Very beautiful description of Kingdom of God. So, Brahma Samhita also Lord Brahma describes very beautifully about the spiritual sky. About the Kalpavriksha trees, about the cows which can give unlimited supply of milk, and about the transcendental purpose gems everywhere. And so by hearing about the glory of spiritual sky, one is likely to develop, Prabhupada says one should be captivated by this information. Where he says this? 5th canto, 6th verse. 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 6th verse. Natat Basiti Suryo Nasha Shanko Napavaka. There he says, one should be captivated by this information about spiritual world. So, generally when we speak to anybody, it should be a blend of all the three. All these three styles. If you give only one, it cannot be effective. Sometimes you tell about spiritual world, people say, very nice class, Prabhu, thank you. And they go and keep doing what they have been doing. So you have to give a blend of all the three. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan, when we speak to people. So, sometimes the younger speakers, junior devotees, are able to attract the attention of the audience more than even sannyasis also sometimes. How? Because they know how to deliver the goods with some masala, with some stories, with some examples from here and there, and they put nice masala and give, and people think, although he's a junior devotee, I can get a lot of nice information. People come to hear. But sometimes there may be sannyasis and very exalted personalities who sometimes may not too much focus on the delivery. But they may be conveying very, very important points, very fine and very deep points necessary for purification. That is why one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam without any preconditioned notions, without any preconceived notions. Because if one hears objectively Bhagavatam with great sincerity, one will get some lessons to be learned. So, yeah, one example he gives. Some people say that, you know, they are not able to study Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, whatever. They say we have no time. So he gives a very beautiful example. He says a man generally likes to stay at home and eat from the hands of his wife when she's cooked in the morning, when she's serving prasad at home with his son and daughter, is sitting and eating prasad peacefully. This is an everyday thing. But there may be days when the man may be called by his boss, today you come at 7 o'clock. At night he may return back only at 9 o'clock. All day he may be busy. So on those days, does he say that I am not going to eat today? What he does? He packs up the prasad and while going in the train or bus, you know, he just gulps it down, finishes it. Similarly, he says that a devotee should aspire to sit and study Bhagavatam nicely. But if time doesn't permit, then while going, coming here, one should finish it off. Just as one takes prasad. Does one say that, because today I had to leave at 7 o'clock in the morning, so I won't eat today? Does anybody say that? That people take care. Similarly, eating Bhagavatam, not eating Bhagavatam, I mean hearing Bhagavatam also, one should take care. That's one beautiful example he gives, isn't it? So, but unfortunately, people say there is no, sometimes people make a plan, I will nicely sit. After all these programs are over, I will sit nicely, 2 to 3 hours I will study. And then the 2 to 3 hours never comes. It will never come. That's why he is saying, one time when I went to Bombay, Radha Gopinath Prabhu was supposed to go to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. No? There he used to do a program. So I asked him, Prabhuji, can I also accompany you and all? And I said, Prabhuji, I have a few questions to you. He said, no, I'm busy with preparation and everything. Anyway, one question I asked him, Prabhuji, can you please tell me how to study Bhagavatam? We never are able to make out time. He gave a big laughter and said, today I'll tell you. Then when we were going in the train, it was such a heavily crowded train. Our leg was in one place, hand was in one place. And he was keeping Bhagavatam like this and reading like this. Holding like this. And then he just shook me and said, Radhisham, you asked me how I study Bhagavatam, this is how I study Bhagavatam. He said, here is where I get time. He said, He said the best way to study Bhagavatam is give yourself some programs. And for that program you will have to study. Yeah. If you don't have a program, you will never study. He said, today I have to give a class. And I have not read it. At least I have to know what is there in the, at least the theme. At least once I read the theme, I will know what to speak. You know. So, imagine if every day you have a program in the evening, then every day you have to read something to speak in the program. That is the best way. That's the reason we push the devotees. See, we push congregation devotees to host Bhagavatam study circle, which is their dharma. Because they are supposed to host programs and cook some prasad and give to the people, which is very difficult for them. You ask any congregation devotee, one of the most painful things for them will be to cook prasad. Because they have to go to office and come back, life is very tight. And similarly, one of the most difficult things for brahmacharis is to go for a program and give lecture because they have not studied. So we have to push both the people. Push brahmacharis to study Bhagavatam and go and deliver, and push the congregation to host the program. Both have to be pushed to perform their dharma. They have to do. Then what will happen? Somehow the brahmachari studies and then goes and delivers. He becomes enlivened. Because once we come in contact with Sat, the transcendental message, our hearts become engladdened and enlivened. And Ramachari says, I never knew that such a wonderful, such verses are there, I never read it, he says. And the congregation devotees also, when they cook prasad and they give, and everybody says, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, this Prabhuji Mataji have cooked for all of us today. They feel like, if you are going to get so much blessings, it's not all that bad to put up a program in our house. Of course, some people are very enthu for putting up programs very naturally. And some people have to drive themselves to do that. But you will see, by rendering devotion service, Prabhupada says, you know, preaching is a big struggle. But once we see some of the new people becoming devotees, then you think it was worth the endeavor. Now you think like that. After you see some devotees have become serious, then you feel very joyful. It was worth the endeavor. You feel like that. So, another example he gives is that whenever there is a telephone bill or electricity bill or water bill, people are very careful to pay the bill. Do you know why? Otherwise it will be cut. Electricity will be cut, telephone will be cut. People know, they have to pay the bill. In mobile also you have seen, they keep warning you, pay it, pay it, pay it. If you don't pay, tuck, it's cut off afterwards. So, he says that similarly, we have to, reading also we have to keep it, he says, that I have to complete some kind of fixed quota one should have, like one chapter a day from Bhagavatam, or half a chapter a day, or one chapter to be finished in 3 days or whatever. That is like a quota that you have to pay to Guru. So he says that although Prabhupada prescribed 16 rounds of Hare Krishna for the devotees, but he didn't prescribe anything for reading. So somebody asked Prabhupada, how much Prabhupada devotee should read? Prabhupada said, you should read constantly. No, Prabhupada, we have services also. Along with service, how can we? Prabhupada said, okay, at least a couple of hours every day, Prabhupada said. And Prabhupada says that whenever you get time in the day, you should read. But this statement was misunderstood by the devotees. What devotees thought, whenever you get time means, I mostly don't get time, you see. That is not the meaning. Whenever you get time means, as soon as one work is over, before you start another work, in between time, that is the whenever you get time. That time should be used for reading. Make out some time in between. Like you are going from here to somewhere, always keep a Bhagavatam with you and you open and read. Like that he's saying. So, like that, some nice examples he gives. Actually, one more thing is this about developing taste for hearing. If you are convinced about the importance of reading and hearing, then we will read. So a few points he says. One point he says here, how you become truly wealthy and wise. You can become Krishna's lawyer and not be a liar. A liar is one who bluffs, whereas you can become Krishna's lawyer by studying. Another one he says, you can develop attachment to Krishna and Prabhupada by reading. One more interesting thing he says about respecting Bhagavatam. I'll tell you something interesting. Here. Someone put a Bhagavatam on the floor. The book was on top of a cloth, but was on the floor. And Prabhupada said, no, pick it up. Although they had kept it on the cloth, on the floor. Prabhupada didn't allow it. You have to keep it like this. You cannot keep it on the floor. Don't leave the book there, Prabhupada said. The book is an incarnation of Krishna. The Bhagavatam had to be properly treated. Yes, you have to treat Bhagavatam respectfully. But properly treated doesn't mean you just keep it in a nice dust jacket on your shelf. In the Nectar of Devotion it says, if one just keeps these books on his shelf, it is understood that Narayana is residing in his home. But as with the deity, we don't just get a nice deity of Krishna from Vrindavan and keep it on a shelf for some person to admire it as if it were just a piece of artistic sculpture. Similarly, we do not try to impress someone with our devotional library. So if you go into any householder's apartment, we expect to find a full set of Prabhupada's books handsomely sitting on several shelves. But he will be just like the Karmi if he doesn't read these books. You understand what he's saying? Like somebody gets a beautiful deity of Krishna, but they keep it in the home and they don't worship the deity. See, we advance in devotion service by taking care of the deity, bathing the deity, dressing the deity, decorating the deity with jewelry, and garland and everything, offering bhoga to deity, offering obeisances to deity, and sitting in front of the deities and singing some poems, singing some Vaishnava songs for the pleasure of the deity. Then we make advancement. That means you have to reciprocate with the deity, is it not? Similarly, here he is saying Bhagavatam also, there is a verse which says, if you buy a Bhagavatam set and keep in your home, then there is a light that emanates from Bhagavatam. That spiritual light that comes out of Bhagavatam. And naturally your home becomes sanctified, which is true. But he says that is not all. If you read Bhagavatam, you will make more progress. Otherwise, simply buying and keeping in our locker or in our home. So, real meaning of respecting Bhagavatam is to study Bhagavatam and live by it. That is real meaning of respecting. And what is the superficial meaning of respecting Bhagavatam? Yeah, buying and keeping in a shell very neatly arranged. Like I went to one home where, the shelf was so neat and clean, transparent glass and all the books arranged. So they showed me, Rajampu, we have all your books. So they had those four books, Discover Yourself, Your Best Friend, and Your Secret Journey, Victory Over Death, and EBG, all the books. So I said, oh, your shelf is so neat and clean. Then the lady said, oh, actually we have kept it neat and clean because you are coming to our home today. So then I asked the Prabhuji, Prabhuji, out of these four books, which one you like? He said, I like all of them, he said. No, which book specifically amongst all, which one you like? That I cannot say now, Prabhuji, he said. I asked why, because I never read them. Whatever you have written, Prabhuji, it must be good because you are a wonderful devotee, it must be good. So, many people are very good in stocking them on the cupboard and neatly keeping. That is why if somebody gives me a gift of a book, I will tell them, please don't give me a gift. Instead, give me for reading and giving back. Do you know why? If you know the book is owned by you, then you will keep it inside. You will never read it. But if somebody tells you, I told him, please give me the book for 3 months and you demand the book from me after 3 months, then I will read it. Agreed? How many of you agree? Correct, isn't it? Yeah. This is a problem, you see. So like that he says many nice points. Yeah. So he's saying here how we should feel when we don't read. He's saying that, for example, one of your close friends has given you some money on debt. You took a debt from him. But he's such a nice friend, close friend, that in case you don't pay the debt also in time, he is tolerant friend. But you should not think that, well, I would like to repay him now, but I will not suffer if I don't. After all, he's a good friend. He's not going to put me behind the bars. By thinking like this, the man will put off repaying his friend indefinitely. We should not assign such low priority to reading. Rather, without fail, we should read Prabhupada books every day. Rare occasions may prevent our reading the books on a given day, but apart from such special emergency situations, we should read Prabhupada books daily. So he's saying, it's like taking a debt and not paying back. It's like that. Because Prabhupada, we have become indebted to Prabhupada because Prabhupada kept himself awake late nights, the early mornings. And he has done so much for us. So we are like debtors. A debtor should never be lazy to pay back the debt. Like that. The nice example he gives. And Prabhupada is saying many advantages of regular reading and hearing. One he says is to fluently preach and save the country. Another one he says to get purified in our heart. Another one is he says by hearting the poetry of Bhagavatam we can learn to pray, like Prahlad is praying, Dhruva is praying. We will also learn the art of praying. So like that many benefits. I made a PowerPoint with this. If anybody is interested, I'll give it to Varadaraj Prabhu. You can take it. You can see the PowerPoints. There are plenty of points to learn from this book on reading reform. One interesting point about why do we lose interest in reading. Here is the answer. Due to hearing or reading inattentively, we lose interest. Why do we lose interest? Hearing or reading? Inattentively. Now, initially we were inattentive, due to which we lost little interest. Now that inattention becomes magnified over a period of time. Like now you are hearing a Bhagavatam now. If you are very dull in hearing Bhagavatam, I have to hear, it's my duty now. Like this you are hearing. You know, abhi 8:30 baje, every day I have to hear Bhagavatam now. So what happens, the inattention becomes magnified. More and more. So dullness becomes magnified. Laziness also becomes magnified. Like I observed, in chanting also, initially now we are chanting 16 rounds. Sometimes if you are inattentive in chanting, the 16 rounds becomes burdensome. Sometimes you finish only 10 rounds or 12 rounds and 5-6 rounds are remaining and it is done in a very dull manner. The mind is such a rascal, it just drags us down and down. One point of time you have to recognize the evil nature of the mind and you get up and say, you rascal, today in 2 hours you have chanted only 10 rounds. Today you have to chant 32 rounds today. I'll kill you today. He said, no, I'll complete 16. No, not completing 16. Today you have to chant 30 rounds. I'll kick you today. Take this kick nicely. And make the mind chant 32 rounds. Then the mind will come to senses. You will see that. Because mind, how many of you agree mind is a rascal? Correct. Isn't it? It deserves solid beating. See, even for 16 also it is crying. But on Ekadashi day, yesterday many devotees chanted 64 rounds. After that 16 becomes very easy. Is it not true? That is why mind deserves solid beating. Similarly, one day you couldn't read, it's all right. 2 days you couldn't read, it's all right. Now weeks together you don't read. And the mind cheats you completely. So, and in this way, inattention also, we should not allow the inattention to get compounded, multiplied. We should not allow. Due to hearing or reading inattentively, we lose interest. This means we are not intent to know Krishna or at least to hear him speak. Thus, we also enter a kind of ignorance, a dullness of uncaring, as if we already know everything about Krishna. And so we are no longer interested in the subject matter of Krishna. So one thing he says here, for some people, some devotees, the pressure of a heavy workload creates difficulties for reading. Some devotees work so hard physically that whenever they sit down to read, they fall asleep. So we should not be complacent and thinking, well, that's the way it is. I always fall asleep whenever I open Prabhupada's books. No, we must fight to overcome these conditions, he says. I heard my special master say that he used to do so much physical services. Not only he along with a few of his friends, they would fall asleep. So what he would do after milking the cow, sometimes he would walk to and fro and read. Because when you walk, you know, it's difficult to sleep. Although you may feel a little tired. So one has to be determined to keep awake while reading. Another thing he says, how to read with receptivity, he says here. The purer we are, the more we will feel an urgent need to hear. So if you are not feeling the urgency to hear, what is the meaning? Our mind has become impure. But the purer we are, the more we will feel an urgent need to hear. This will make us more attentive. When there is no higher taste, and or therefore we are open to distractions, we will be inattentive. When there is no higher taste, then our mind is looking for alternatives. Correct, no? Like for example, you are going in the sumo, you open a Bhagavad Gita and read. But when there is no higher taste in reading Gita, then you look at the posters. You look at this cinema poster, that cinema poster, and then you increase your hair trouble, more trouble, unnecessarily. So, when there is no higher taste, we become inattentive. When there are no higher tastes and are therefore open to distractions, we will become inattentive. Sometimes we will read with startling receptivity and we will immediately feel enlivened and enthusiastic and in that way receive so much benefit. This often occurs when we read in the early morning hours, like the sages of Naimisharanya. So he says that the morning time is in Sattvaguna, early morning, Brahma Muhurtam. It's a very nice time to read. Like Vijay Prabhu had come to Pune. So he was telling that all these years, early morning he used to hear Prabhupada speak. Or Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purports he would read. Whatever suits the devotee, early morning is possible or daytime. But the whole idea is, we have to be attentive. Why we should be attentive? I told you earlier. By being attentive, what happens? Receptivity is high. The higher taste will develop. Our intelligence becomes strong. Mind becomes cleansed and pure. Then our taste, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, will increase, develop more and more. But if you are inattentive, and we are careless about inattentiveness, what is the result? Inattentiveness becomes multiplied. And that leads to dullness, laziness, carelessness, neglect, and we stop reading. Because instead, even if there is some time, how many of you experience, while traveling here, there we had some time, we had a book also with us, but our mind adamantly cheated us from reading the book. You experience? Correct? Yeah. That means not that we don't have time, we have time, but we don't have taste. Lagan nahiya. The taste is not there. But taste is there, we will find time. Yeah. Imagine it's Bhaksan Saraswati's appearance day. You know. There is a Mahaprasad being distributed somewhere in the backside. And already, you know, you have finished the prasadam, you are lying in the ashram, relaxing for some time. Somebody says, Prabhuji, some special Mahaprasad has come out. Is there anybody who will say there is no time? When you want to get time, you can make time for anything. So, the ideal example is given. Just like imagine you are eating a big Alfonso mango. You finished only half the mango, somebody came in between, you kept it in your locker. And then after you talk to that person, what do? Again you run back and finish the balance. Like that we should read Bhagavatam. Like you have read. This much only you have finished. And then what happened after that, you are eager to know. Again you go and take the book, let me finish off, you know. What's happening? Like that we should. So it's like Alfonso mango, remember. At least if you remember the mango, then you are likely to want to read. That's why I told you the Alfonso mango example. So it's not that we have no time, we can make time if we really want to. So attention is needed, you say. And what kind of attention? Another example he gives. Like a biologist, he puts a leaf in a microscope, a microscopic plate, and then he sees through the lens. And how he studies that? Is he distracted by any other surrounding things? Complete attention. Like that Bhagavatam should be studied, he says. Chanting of the holy name also should be done like that. With full attention. With no other side distractions. So, that's the reason we have the Sharanagati also. The Sharanagati, because you have one desk. Sharanagati is not for sleeping. Take shelter of sleep. Isn't it? So, maybe we should change the name in the new temple. Shayanagati is saying. Sharanagati became Shayanagati. So, the whole idea of giving a separate cubicle is for complete attention. Isn't it? Yeah. So, like that, he says many nice things. Also he says, be not a bookworm, be an active servant of Guru. That also he says. Yes, we have to read. At the same time, we should also do service. Because sometimes, in our neophyte stage, we cannot go on reading. We fall asleep. That means we don't have much realization. So what to do? Then do service. Which is easy out of the two? Doing services. So that is the reason Prabhupada has given us so many services. Because we cannot read all day. Nor is it required also. Because you may just be becoming scholars by reading without any realization. So do service also, he says. Yeah. See, Prabhupada says, become a hearing addict, he says. Srila Prabhupada writes that we must be addicted to hearing, just as an addict is addicted to intoxicants. Let me be so hooked that I cannot do without it. Any of you feel that today I couldn't read, I am missing something. then you are an addict, hearing addict. A hearing addict means one who is missing the reading as hearing. One Bhagavatam class you missed, you should cry. Alas, today I had to go to doctor or I had to go somewhere, I missed the Bhagavatam class. You come back and ask the devotee who makes the best notes, exhaustive notes. Then you take his notebook and read it and ask the devotee to tell you what happened in the class. Then you are a hearing addict. See the study as a labor of love. Studying is an austerity, a kind of transcendental labor. Like that he says. It requires a highly receptive state of inspiration to read. One last thing I'll tell you. This is an interesting thing. He says, reading for us is like getting rich for the materialist. It's like having lots of money rolling in. Like becoming prosperous, famous or victorious. He says. So what is reading like? It's like becoming rich. And it is true also. Like a rich man, you know, he may be rich with millions of dollar notes. But we become rich with verses of the Bhagavatam. And examples and stories and pastimes. Anywhere you go, you come across any non-devotee or devotee, immediately can release some verses, can release some stories, release some pastimes, and you can enliven them, inspire them. And you get inspired also by that. So you become very prosperous and victorious in your life. Like that he's saying. So the wealth of this world is taken away at the time of death, but the wealth of Srimad Bhagavatam is, you know, stored in our consciousness, which will never be taken away. You see this Gajendra in his Purva Janam, he remembered some verses, because of which in the next life, he could recite those verses when the crocodile captured his leg. Similarly, if you recite the Bhagavatam verses and it goes deep into our subconscious mind, even after death also, we will not forget them. When we, in the next life we are born, again those verses will come with us. Again we can relish Bhagavatam and continue wherever we are put. So, I write some of these things to you, especially to Rasagnyaha Konu Trupyeta Halilila Amritam Piman. We want to come to this stage of no satiation. No satiation means we want to come to a stage where we want to go on hearing Krishna Katha with great delight and great interest and inspiration. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki.